بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد Inshallah, in this morning program we'll be doing a few minutes of aqaid or basic beliefs, because this is the most important thing for a person to be successful in the hereafter. The importance of aqaid. From the Quran and Hadith we learn that the most valuable treasure is iman, and the greatest calamity is kufr and disbelief. Everlasting success is the result of iman, whilst everlasting loss is the consequence of kufr and disbelief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is Allah who created you. However, some amongst you are kafir, disbelievers, and some amongst you are believers. So mankind is divided into two groups. One is the disbeliever who is ungrateful to Allah ta'ala. He has been ungrateful, rebelled, and made treason against his creator. For him is everlasting punishment in the hereafter. As for the believer, he submits to the command of Allah ta'ala. He is grateful, accepts the sovereignty of Allah ta'ala, and affirms his rule. For the believer, the reward is great. He has been promised lofty mansions in the gardens of paradise, peace and perpetual happiness. Righteous deeds are only acceptable to Allah ta'ala if iman is present. Without correct beliefs, righteous deeds are not accepted for reward in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, whoever practices righteous deeds, be it male or female, while he or she is a believer, verily they will enter into Jannah. The first question posed to a person in the grave will be regarding beliefs. As far as those whose beliefs are not correct, that is the disbelievers, their righteous deeds will not be acceptable in the court of Allah Ta'ala in the hereafter. Aqaid are like roots, and actions are like branches. Just as how branches grow because of the roots, similarly beliefs are the source of actions. So the greatest and most imperative obligation on man is to correct his beliefs and to cleanse himself of wrong ideologies. He should adorn himself with good actions and try to earn Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, which is in fact the prime objective of coming into this world. Secondly, one must realize that from all the religions, Islam is the chosen religion by Allah Ta'ala himself, and the rightful inheritors and true followers of Islam are the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at. These two facts are proven theoretically and logically. Thirdly, one has to understand what the beliefs of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at are. Their beliefs are those which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and all of them remain steadfast on these beliefs without any difference. Later on, people introduced new beliefs and divided into many factions and groups. Nevertheless, the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'at remained staunch on the beliefs of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and did not devise their own belief structure. These are the same beliefs found in the Quran and Hadith. Since the need for correct aqaid is essential for salvation, Hazrat Mullah Abdul Hamid Sahib Daun Barakatum instructed that a kitab, a booklet be prepared, which could be read in Ramadan for the mu'takifin regarding correct beliefs in accordance to today's times. We beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept this humble effort and make it a means of our salvation, as well as those who benefit from it. Ameen. Regarding the Tarawih Salah, which was recited last night, 1 1/4 juz of the Quran Sharif was recited. The beginning surah is Suratul Fatiha. So Fatiha means the opening chapter. It opens up to us the whole Quran Sharif. The ulama say that the Quran, the Surah Fatiha, is the crux and the sum total of the whole Quran Sharif. Whatever subject matters is mentioned in Surah Fatiha is mentioned throughout the Quran Sharif. Some ulama say that they are, Allama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani Rahmatullah says that there are 6 subject matters which are mentioned in Surah Fatiha, and the Quran Sharif, throughout the Quran you will find these 6 subject matters being discussed in great detail. First is Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then secondly is Risalat, the messengership of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and number 3 is Akhirat, the life of the year after, and number 4 that we have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'een. And number 5, the qualities of the believers, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the Quran Sharif mentions. And number 6, the qualities of those who are not accepting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maghdubi alayhim wa al-dhalin, the kuffar and disbelievers in whatever different ways they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now the Quran Sharif, this is the summary of the Quran Sharif, which is mentioned in Surah Fatiha. And the whole Quran now will explain the surah in great detail. The surah has got many names. Ulama say up to about 22 different names ulama has mentioned. And they say the more names something has got, it shows the greatness and the honor of that. So Surah Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it many, many names in the Quran itself. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَاكَ سَبْعًا مِنَ الْمَثَانِي وَالْقُرْآنِ الْعَظِيمِ. The seven verses which are repeated over and over. And Allah ta'ala refers to Surah Fatiha as Quran al-Azim. This is the whole, the Quran, the great Quran. So, and Allah says, after giving me the Quran Sharif, we gave you Surah Fatiha. لَا تَمُدَّنَّ عَيْنَيْكَ إِلَى مَا مَتَّعْنَا بِهِ أَزْوَاجًا مِنْهُمْ. How can you turn your gazes to whatever we have given the kuffar and disbelievers? Whatever we have given them is very small. It's of course no consequence compared to what you have got. You have got Surah Fatiha. What a great bounty which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you people. The different virtues are mentioned regarding Surah Fatiha. Once Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, on many occasions, and he asked the Sahaba radiallahu anhum about what is the greatest surah of the Quran Sharif. And then he explained that this is the greatest surah in the Quran Sharif. That is Surah Fatiha. And besides this, there are many other virtues mentioned regarding Surah Fatiha. In the greatest virtue we can see is that in every salat, every rakat of salat, Surah Fatiha is repeated. That is why, according to Maulana Qasim Nanotvi Rahmatullah Ali, he says that the namaz, the crux of salat is Surah Fatiha. The most important thing in salat is Surah Fatiha. He says that this is the crux of namaz. And in Surah Fatiha, some ulama have said that the crux of Surah Fatiha is Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. That if you want the khulasa and the crux of it is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We only worship Allah and we only ask the help and assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other ulama have mentioned that in Surah Fatiha, Allah has mentioned two different themes. The one theme is Allah's relationship with man and man's relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Two things. Allah's relationship with man and man's relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's relationship with man is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that at all times you are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you look at your past, Allah is Rabbul Alameen. In the past also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nourished you, He sustained you. From non-existence, Allah ta'ala gave you existence. So Allah is Rabbul Alameen. In the past you were in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the present moment you are in need of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. And Ar-Rahman is general mercy which Allah grants to the Muslims and which Allah ta'ala grants to the non-Muslims. And Ar-Rahim is a special mercy which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only grants to the believers, the obedient servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This mercy will come in this worldly life also. When Allah gives a person hidayat, Allah Ta'ala puts a person on the straight path, Allah gives a person istiqamat and steadfastness. So this is Rahim. So a person is in need of Allah Ta'ala's mercy, especially in this world. Both the kinds of mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The general mercy also and the special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the future also we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah is Maliki Yawmiddin. Allah is the one who is controlling the master of the day of Qiyamah. And so Allah, we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the past, in the present, and in the future. At all times we are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is Allah ta'ala's relationship with us. That Allah was looking after us in the past. Allah is sending His mercy upon us. And on the day of Qiyamah also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will be the only one to control us, to make decisions regarding us. Here ulama have mentioned also an amazing point. Mulana Manzoor Nu'mani Sahib, Tamu Barakatum, has mentioned this point. He said, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Outwardly we will think that this is Surah Fatiha, we are reading Salat, and in Salat we are mentioning the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we are supposed to have used those qualities of Allah, Al-Azim, Al-Kabir, Al-Muta'al, showing the greatness and the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used two qualities, and both of them show the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says the reason for this was that in the past nations, many people became misguided, they went astray, because they had so much of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they felt like Allah is like a tyrant, just waiting to pounce upon them. Allah wants to punish them. And unfortunately, many Muslim people also have this, that when they ever speak about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they speak about deen, they put it forward in a very negative way, that Allah just wants to punish us. Allah is just like waiting, like a tyrant, just to hit us, to cause harm to us. Whereas if you look at the Quran Sharif, even here in this ayat, where Allah's mercy surpasses Allah's anger. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Only Allah is showing His mercy and His kindness. So this must be the dominant quality of a believer also. Bashiru wa la tunafiru, give basharat, glad tidings. Do not create nafrat in the hearts of people. You have to give them also a targhib and tarheeb. There has to be a warning also. But the dominant feature should be targhib and encouraging people towards Allah, the mercy of Allah, the kindness of Allah. So Mullah Manzoor Nu'mani said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned here especially His two qualities of mercy, so that people don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they realize no matter how far they can go from Allah, Allah is open, His door is open for them. Allah wants to shower His mercy upon them. And Allah is giving them so much of mercy, Allah is favoring them so much, so there is no need for a person to ever lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter Allah mentions Maliki Yawmiddin. Hazrat Mawlana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says that that Allah Ta'ala could have mentioned Qadi Yawmiddin. Allah is the Qadi, the judge on the day of Qiyamah. But Allah mentioned Malik. Because a Qadi is a person who is bound by the laws of a country. He has to follow the constitution. Whatever the constitution says, he has to follow that. They say you must punish a person, he has to punish. You must shower your mercy upon a person, he has to do that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he is Malik. Malik is the one who controls, he owns. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can pass decision as he wants to. There is no one to stop Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no one to say that, oh Allah, how could you have passed the decision in a certain way? If a person has done so much of sin, but he's only got a small dot of iman in him, and Allah says, I want to forgive him, Allah has got full right. Because Allah is Malik. Allah is not bounded by any laws in the year after. And Allah Ta'ala can do as He pleases. So anyhow, these are how Allah Ta'ala deals with us. And how should we deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the ulama say that there are five duties for us. The first one is ibadat. That we have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala outwardly. There are different forms of ibadat. Whether it comes to our wealth also, our marriages also, and what we normally know as ibadat. We have to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's outwardly. Then nasta'een, inwardly, we seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to have ikhlas and sincerity. It means our outward must be according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our inward also must be according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we have to continuously ask Allah ta'ala for hidayat. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. There's a third thing. So one is our outward. One is we have to correct our inward. Thirdly, we have to ask Allah ta'ala for hidayat. Seek it back from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they say we have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for istiqamat. Steadfastness. Ihdina, guide us, we are asking Allah. And we are already on guidance, we are asking Allah for istiqamah, and steadfastness. So after getting hidayat, then a person must remain steadfast. Because sirat mustaqim, a straight road, means a person has to remain steadfast on it. So this is the third responsibility and duty. And the third and fourth, asking Allah for hidayat and remaining steadfast. And the fifth is that the company a person keeps. A person must always keep in the company of the righteous and the pious. And he must stay away from the company of the wrongdoers, the evildoers, because this will lead a person away. So his company also has a very great effect. As Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi mentions, that there are two parts of hidayat for a person. One is Kitabullah and one is Rijalullah. When a person asks Allah Ta'ala for hidayat, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, then immediately Allah mentions Sirat al-Ladina Anamta Alayhim, the path of the people, the men of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And in the next surah, Surah Baqarah, Allah mentions Zalik al-Kitab. You have to follow the Kitabullah, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's Rijalullah, the men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Kitabullah. If you only follow the Rijalullah without Kitabullah, and sometimes a person can become misguided, that is exactly what happened to the Christians. They only followed Rijalullah, and the book of Allah was there. They said, no, don't worry about the book of Allah. The most important thing is the men of Allah. We may just follow them. And even if they go completely against the book of Allah, they change the book of Allah, we'll follow them. And then you get the second group, who were the Jews. They said, leave out the men of Allah, we don't need them. The book of Allah is sufficient for us. So they only follow the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Torah, and they cut off. They even so much so they kill the Anbiya alayhi musallatu wasalam and the pious people. So they also went misguided. So the path of righteousness is the path of Kitabullah and Rijalullah. Follow the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, according to how the Rijalullah, the men of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explained to us. And when a person follows these two paths, then a person will be rightly guided. Qadi Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah has explained very beautifully in one kitab of his, that when people... They only followed Rijalullah and how they went misguided. And the Quran Sharif has mentioned many of the qualities of those people. And those people who only followed Kitabullah and some only followed Rijalullah, both of them, how they went misguided. And the part of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat and the part of the Muslims is that they have to follow both Kitabullah and Rijalullah. So anyhow, this is the crux of Surah Fatiha. Thereafter, Surah Baqarah starts, and this is the longest surah of the Quran Sharif. In Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the beginning, mentions three different groups. And the first is the quality of the believers. They've got iman. Their belief structure is right. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ. They are fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the greatest right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is salat. So, the حُقُوقُ اللَّهِ, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And what we have given them, they spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حُقُوقُ الْإِبَادِ. They fulfill the rights of human beings. So, this is what actually the crux of the Quran is. حُقُوقُ اللَّهِ and حُقُوقُ الْإِبَادِ. And correct beliefs. So you have correct beliefs. Fulfill the rights of Allah, fulfill the rights of human beings. And then our belief also of the past kitabs and past scriptures. And we have yaqeen and belief in the akhirat, in the year after. Allah says when people have got these qualities, they are on hidayat, they are on the right path, and they are successful. Then in two verses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the kuffar and disbelievers. And they are people who are not prepared to accept. And Allah mentions the qualities very quickly. And then in many ayat, in about 13 verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the third category of people who are called munafiqeen, hypocrites. That these people outwardly, they claim to be believers, but inside their heart, they've got no iman. And this was in common in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Until today's time, the ulama say, if you look at the qualities of, for example, the Shias, the Qadianis, and these different groups, many groups of the modernists, they have these sifat and these qualities amongst them also. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about 10 or 12 qualities of these people. So we should abstain from such qualities. Example, the qualities of deception, the qualities of speaking lies, the qualities of having spiritual sicknesses, the qualities of causing fasad and trouble in the earth, the quality of mocking the people of iman when they are said to believe, like how the Sahaba radiallahu anhu used to believe, they used to mock them, they never used to accept them. Istihza, a mockery of those people, and being two-faced. When the people, meet the people of iman, they say, we are with you people, we've also got iman. And when they go to the shayateen, to the wrongdoers, then they say, we are with you people, we were just making a joke and a mock of these people. So these are all the evil qualities of the people of hypocrisy. Allah Ta'ala save us from them. The ulama say that you get two types of hypocrites. One type of hypocrite is the people, inside they haven't got iman, but outwardly they act like they're believers. And they say then you get another kind of hypocrite, which is like us amongst ourselves, that outwardly, at the inside we've got iman, but outwardly our ways are like the ways of the kuffar and disbelievers. So there is iman in a person's heart, so this is called nifaqi amali, and this also a person should completely abstain from. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that all three groups understand the objective of life. You have come in this world to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's why you've come in this world. And the object of worship also is not just for itself, but لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you can acquire the quality of taqwa. Taqwa means a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who have got this, then they will follow divine guidance. Whoever will follow divine guidance, he will be on the straight path, he will eventually get Jannat. On the other hand, the people who are not prepared to accept the divine guidance, the wahi and revelation which has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jahannam has been prepared for them. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in great detail, he mentions about Jannat and Jahannam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions that with a small example also, if you got desire for hidayat, Allah will give you hidayat. But huge examples Allah can explain to a person, how much you can explain to a person, if he is not prepared to accept, he won't accept. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions the incident of the first man to come on the surface of the earth, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah made him his khalifa, his vicegerent on the earth, and he has come in this world, he came in this world for this objective. In this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows the great value of knowledge. When Allah has made him the khalifa on the earth, the vicegerent on the earth, he needs to get the knowledge of nabuwat, of wahi. And with this knowledge, he must follow it, then a person will be successful, he will be fulfilling the duty of khilafat, which Allah Ta'ala had given to him. And when he will do so, even the angels will help and assist him. But on the other hand, when a person is not following that, and shaitan will come in between, and shaitan will try to divert a person, because shaitan was jealous over human beings, then why did he get the duty and responsibility? So shaitan will try to deflect and turn man away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when man, he does that so, he makes a mistake, he makes an error, then Allah has kept one path open for him, and that is the path of tawbah and istighfar, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is prepared to accept, and Allah is prepared to forgive a person. We will make many, many mistakes in our life, but that is the quality of a human being, that he's got mistakes, and he will make many mistakes in his life, but the door of tawbah is always open for a person. If a person uses this divine gift which has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a person will continuously progress. Thereafter, in great detail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the Bani Israel, which is the Jews. Allah Ta'ala especially mentions about them, because these people, they were like the hypocrites also in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They knew the truth, but they were not prepared to accept it. And these people, Allah Ta'ala mentions about his great bounties which he had granted to them. In here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us also that, O Ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have given you many, many bounties. After giving you these bounties, do not be ungrateful for these bounties. These people, great, great bounties Allah Ta'ala gave them. Allah gave them iman. They started worshipping the cow. What they think, they had the worship of Allah Ta'ala, and they went ungrateful, ingratitude. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the best of food. They were ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the food which Allah had given them, and they started asking for some other things. So many, many bounties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, which Allah had granted to them, but they were not happy about it, and they made kufr. They were ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of this. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them certain commands to do, then they looked for loopholes, tried to come out of it, started making excuses. They were asked to cut a cow, to slaughter a cow. Now they had all different kinds of excuses, objections they were putting forward. So So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many of their qualities and teaching the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you should not have these qualities, because the final result of this was your heart will become hard, like how these people's heart had become hard. So hard it becomes eventually that the pact which they had made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they forgot it. Some laws of Allah they accepted, but where there was some harm to them coming in the dunya, they didn't accept the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what you pleases you, you follow. Whatever doesn't please you, a person doesn't follow. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. Do you believe in some portions of the kitab and leave out the other portions? The final result of this, there will be disgrace in this worldly life. And in the year after, a person will be returned to a very, very severe punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these people eventually went to such a way that they killed the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, the greatest muhsineen, the greatest well wishes for them. They killed them. And these people, they've got a lot of love for this worldly life. They don't want to die. They don't want to leave this world. They became the enemies of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, was bringing wahi and revelation to them. They started following jadu. Instead of following divine revelation, they started making magic. And by magic, they were creating rifts between husband and wife, and rifts between people, causing a lot of harm to the people. And they knew they are destroying themselves. And despite all of this, they still felt that we are the chosen people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will go to Jannah. We can do all wrong, but we are successful in the year after. So Allah ta'ala mentions this right about over half para. And then finally, the end of this first para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Then on one hand, we got the Jews, and how disobedient they were to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on the other hand, you got Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Subhanallah, Allah had given him many examinations in life. Allah had blessed him also with bounties, and Allah tested him. And he 100% he passed his examination. And Allah said, Inni ja'iluka linnasi imama, I will make you an imam of the people. Allah, yeah, I make dua that, oh Allah, what about my children? Allah ta'ala said, no, if they are making zulam and oppression, then my tact will not reach such a person. Each person is for himself. No matter how pious your father can be, you have to look in your own life, how much a person has to have iman and amal as-saliha. Each person is going to his own grave. A person, no matter how pious his fathers and forefathers were, it doesn't mean that person will be successful. So, thereafter Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he built the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And while he was raising the house of Allah, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. According to the narration of Bukhari Sharif, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, Ibrahim alayhi salam, according to ulama, they say he was about 120 years. And Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was about 30 years old at that time. And Ibrahim alayhi salam came and he asked him, can you help and assist me? And he said, I will help and assist you. He said, it's the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, definitely I will help you. And now he's passing the rocks, the stones to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And while they are passing the rocks, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. So after doing any action also, we should read this dua, asking Allah for acceptance. But in this narration, while they were doing the action, not only after the action, while they were doing the action, they are building the great house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What an action. But at that time also, they've got the fear whether it will be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. So we should also, whenever doing a good action, while doing the action, a person must always have fear whether it is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. And to have this quality of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. Wa tub alayna, and Allah turn your attention towards us. We are full of faults and weaknesses. You shower your mercy upon us, so we will be successful. And the other quality Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had, he had concern for his people. So one, he was to build the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he wanted the amal of hidayat. The tilawat of Quran Sharif must take place there. And there must be ta'aleem, reading of the text. And there must be ta'aleem, understanding the meaning of it. And tazkiyah, purification of the heart. So all of these three concerns were in the heart of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So after building the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made dua that Allah ta'ala must. So this was the concern in the heart of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And this must be our concern also, that how can we establish the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the world, and how can we bring alive these different branches. The words of Allah ta'ala must be recited and the meaning must be understood, and how can people correct their heart and get the attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ulama say that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the concern and fikr he had for deen was until the time of death. When he's leaving this world also, he's calling his children, and the worry and concern he had for them was that you must remain steadfast on deen. And he said, don't leave this world except that you are Muslim. And this continued in the progeny of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. When Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam was passing away also, he called his children, and the same concern and fikr he had, and how can they remain steadfast on iman and Islam. So these are the qualities which we must have within ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ. If they have iman, like how you people, or sahaba radiallahu anhum, have got iman, like how the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam has iman, then they are rightly guided. So our the yardstick of our acceptance of correctness of belief is of the way of sahaba radiallahu anhum, as we had read before, ahlu sunnah wal jamaat. Ahlu sunnah is the way of the sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and jamaat is the jamaat of sahaba radiallahu anhum. So this ayat of the Quran also ulama have taken out, If you have got iman, like how they sahaba radiallahu anhu had iman, then your iman will be accepted, then you will be rightly guided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal, to follow the ways of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and to abstain from the ways of the Jews and the hypocrites. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanallah.